Nope. Still don't feel any better.
Did you think you were going to wake up this morning and be like, all is good with the world?
No, but you do think in an alternate world we're gearing up for the NFC title in Detroit, Dan Campbell joins the show and away we go. But no, we still have to deal with the fact that the Lions season is over. And good morning to you out there, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg. We're all back today.
Just wait till you wake up Sunday morning.
Yeah, they're not
and
playing.
You're not playing. Yeah, that's when it's going to really be. It's just going to hit again. And every time it hits, it might be a little bit different, hits a little bit different, but it's another obstacle that us emotional fans need to do is find a way to cope with it.
Well, and the latest domino to fall, you heard in the update, Ben Johnson.
He gone.
To the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
John, the headline in the free press, Benedict Johnson. How do you feel?
I'm happy for him. Congratulations. A lot of hard work. It's not easy. There's one of 32 jobs. One of them happened to be the Bears. And I know that you mentioned the headline in the newspaper, Benedict Johnson. I don't see it that way at all. You can't necessarily choose which jobs are going to be open. Sure, you could choose which job you're going to take. But if that's the best fit that he and his, you know, circle of confidants believe is the best for him, then so be it. It happens to be in Chicago. It happens to be in division. I don't care. Now it's we already thought it was one of the better divisions in football. Now it didn't play out like that in the postseason in regards to results. Regular season, sure. Postseason, not so much. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better division top to bottom with better coaching. And, you know, I mean, okay, we knocks on Dan Campbell because he hasn't made it to the Super Bowl. And Matt LaFleur hasn't won one. And obviously we saw what happened in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell. But, I mean, I think anybody looks at what he did with Sam Darnold, it's remarkable. It came up short, but remarkable what he's done to revitalize his career. Who knows where that goes? Interested to see what he does with J.J. McCarthy in the offense next year. And interested to see Ben Johnson in Chicago with a young quarterback, talented receivers. What does he do? How much influence will he have on Ryan Poles? And that's going to be the bigger question. And I know everybody wants to talk about, he's going in division. It's such a traitor move. No, this is a chance for him to test his wares as a head coach. I don't care where it was. Sure, would we like to run it back with him next year? I think a lot of people would. There's probably some that maybe are like, hey, sayonara. We don't like the way you called things in the playoffs. It's just that type of business, right? It's how quickly we change our emotions about someone. He's still a damn good play caller. And we'll see, can he be a leader? We don't know.
There's a bunch of unknowns, right? How much of the offense is him? How much of it's Dan? How much of Ben Johnson's Detroit experience will translate to Chicago? I got to tell you, I like it a lot more for Chicago than I do for Ben. Chicago needed an offensive coach. They've never unlocked a quarterback. They have a lot invested in Caleb Williams. He was the best offensive coordinator on the market. Very creative. I think he'll give him a real chance with play action and a real run game. But the problem is, I don't know that they have the same pieces in the run game that I actually know they don't have the same pieces in the run game as Detroit. So I think he's going to have his work cut out for him early, which is why I like it more for the Bears than I do for Ben. In terms of our house and how we feel about it here, he didn't do anything wrong leaving for the Bears in the division.
No.
He didn't break any unwritten rules. He didn't backstab Dan Campbell, which you see people on social media running with this stuff. He did what he could have done a year ago and 2 years ago, left for a head coaching job. The fact that they had him the last couple seasons was a gift. Most guys leave when they get that chance to be a head coach. He stayed. The idea that we're going to paint this guy as anything but a good person is silly to me. And honestly, it sounds bratty from certain Lions fans, right? The idea that Ben's not allowed to go in the division, kick his ass twice a year. That should be the mentality, right?
Sure. And that's good. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how does he shape that franchise? Can he make it like, I mean, I don't even want to say like Detroit, because he saw, you know, great squandering of talent when he was here with Patricia. He also saw and learned from Dan how to change a culture. It doesn't mean he can do it. He needs to be true to himself. And how is he going to run an NFL franchise? How is he going to relate to and let the GM know what he wants, what he needs? How are they going to work together? I think that's one of the things in Detroit here that we, I don't think we take it for granted, but we know is unique and special. The relationship between Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. Will Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson have that same relationship? Will Ryan Poles know what he wants to be able to give Ben Johnson?
Let me ask you this then, because it seemed like he wanted to be selective. He wanted to choose the right fit. Do they kind of have a lame duck GM in Poles? Like, is this the third coach for Poles?
Well, it depends on, okay, so those conversations, what does he believe about Ryan Poles? Does he believe that, was Ryan Poles able to say, okay, here's where I've gone wrong, here's where I've learned, here's where I'm going to be better? He's made a lot of mistakes. And it's not that everybody has to be perfect, and he's been probably given more time in Chicago than most people would have, and I don't know why. But what is the learning curve? Has he made every mistake? And now there's new mistakes that are always going to be made, but are they just better mistakes?
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to have... I mean, think about this. A lot of what makes Detroit's offense, what any offensive coordinator looks good with, is a great offensive line, right? More time for your quarterback to get to that second or third read, less pressure on him when he can step in and deliver a throw, a lot of third and mediums or third and shorts or fourth and shorts. Like, an offensive line is the most important thing, I would say, for an offensive coordinator, and he has a major downgrade. Now, that doesn't mean he shouldn't have taken the job.
Well, there is a draft.
But yeah, they're going to have to hit that hard. They're going to have to hit it hard.
Right, and here's the thing. When you, and I think most of us probably believe, I mean, tell me if you think something different, it was between the Raiders, the Bears, and the Jags. The Jags, all right, Trevor Lawrence, I'm sure that was a little bit enticing, but the front office it is a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, that organization, I would have been shocked if he had gone to Jacksonville. And then you start looking at the Raiders and the Bears. He knows that he needs a quarterback. And maybe he wanted to work with Brady and the ownership group there, and maybe they were going to give him extra time because there's no quarterback. And I don't know that there's necessarily a great path to a quarterback. I don't know that there's one in this year's draft that he's looking at going, okay, I could build my franchise, I could build my team around this. So if you don't have a path to a quarterback, it kind of eliminates the Raiders, and so you're left with one choice.
The Bears.
Bears or stay at OC.
And clearly he wanted to be a head coach.
Yeah.
So I don't hold it against him. Ticket Texter says, can you guys start the show telling our fans to calm down and stop looking for a scapegoat, which now appears to be Ben Johnson? All night on social media, people were saying he wasn't invested because he was interviewing for jobs. Guys, he had 2 years to plan this and assemble a staff. He obviously wanted to win here. We need to process losses without losing reason. Jared in Jackson.
I think the bigger concern really should be who leaves with Ben Johnson, and how does he put together a staff? It's been reported Dennis Allen's going to be his defensive coordinator, so it doesn't affect us. I think that's actually a really good hire for him. It's somebody with a head coaching experience,
yeah, going to
be his
stops, yep,
defensive coordinator. But you know, Hank Fraley got a second interview with Seattle as OC, I don't think he ultimately gets that, but does he look and say, well, maybe I get a title in going with Ben Johnson, where Ben's going to call the plays, but maybe I, you know, hey, offensive coordinator in title only, but still offensive line coach. It's a pay bump. Is that something that could happen?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if it does or not, because he gets to work with Penei Sewell.
But if I'm Ben Johnson, I'd strongly consider it. My OC is going to be in title only anyway, and I think I just got done telling you how important the offensive line is going to be for him.
Right, but my point is, the one that has to make the decision, if it's offered to him, it's going to be Hank Fraley. Why would you leave to go to Chicago, where the offensive line is horrible, and you don't necessarily know that the GM is going to draft on the offensive line? That's the big question, because you've already got Penei Sewell. And yeah, there are components, and we'll talk about that throughout the offseason, of an aging offensive line, but he is going to be able to continue to shape it and build around, right now, Frank in the middle, and Penei Sewell. So I just don't know why he would leave being able to work with such high-level talent to go and start all over.
Early returns on the ticket text. Ben Johnson leaves for the Bears. Your reaction to that? It's 97.1.
Hey, don't let the cold creep in. And man, it's cold today. And wait till tomorrow morning. It's going to be even colder. So if you need your furnace service today, do what I did and call Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got the best equipment, the best prices, and they offer same-day service. So if you woke up this morning and it's cold inside, you got to give them a call. Plus, they've got a 5-year warranty on their work, so you know you're covered. Save a bundle with their winter bundle. Up to $1,500 in savings when you buy a new furnace, AC, and generator. Call for details, or you can visit them at mastercraftheating.com.
Ben Johnson to the Bears, reactions from Lions fans. The Free Press has the headline, Benedict Johnson. He's a traitor because he went in the division, I guess. I don't know. People are very upset. Read some of these texts, John. Ben Johnson to the Bears feels like your girlfriend cheating on you with your best friend.
I mean, people are going to see it however they want. I'm not going to try and convince anybody, but that's... put it in other terms. If you have a chance, you know, say you interview and you're looking to get a better job, your competitor, a direct competitor to the company that you're working for, offers you a promotion and a hell of a lot more money, are you not going to take it? I mean, it's just not as public.
But you're going to take it.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any animosity from Dan Campbell about this. This is his buddy. He gets a chance to take one of 32 head coaching jobs. Happy for him. Try to kick his ass twice a year. I mean, that's the only mentality here.
For Dan, it's a feather in his cap, right? It's are you starting the Dan Campbell tree of coaching?
Right. And I'm not going to demonize Ben Johnson for this. I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's cathartic for some people. Ticket Texter says people clearly need an outlet for their anger. All the anger shifted from the Lions to Ben Johnson yesterday. Texter says, I'm still grieving. I can be pissed at Ben Johnson if I wanna.
Sure. All right. I'm not going to disagree with that.
I just think it's misplaced.
Sure.
Guys, this one says, I've never understood Ben Johnson as a head coach. As a Lions fan, I love he's in division because I don't see it working.
It really all comes down to, there are some guys that are great offensive line coaches or quarterback coaches or defensive back coaches. They don't make great coordinators. Others are great coordinators. They don't make head coaches. And there are some guys that are just built to be head coaches. We don't know yet if Ben Johnson is built to be a head coach. And he doesn't really know that. He thinks he does. He's got the confidence that he does. Chicago obviously thinks they got the confidence. They hired him as their head coach. But how many times have we seen coordinators that they're the number one sought after commodity for a reason. They've had some success, but they don't all turn out to be great head coaches. Look at when Dan Campbell was hired. 7 coaches. How many of those guys are still employed? Only 2 of them. Nick Sirianni and Dan Campbell.
Okay, just quick. More likely than not, when an OC offensive genius moves on, they end up looking like Mike Martz or Charlie Weiss as a head coach. And rarely do they look like Kyle Shanahan, right? More times than not. I mean, we sat back here behind a glass, and I just asked Grady, I go, give me an offensive genius, in quotes, that moved on from an OC and became a great head coach. And he brought up the Shanahans, but Mike did it too.
Yeah, I mean, Sean McVay would be another one.
Yeah. Well, McVay was OC just 1 year?
He's an offensive coach.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about the offensive coordinator genius, the direct OC or DCs. Like what John was just saying, so a lot of times it's special teams coaches and guys that necessarily, like, find me there's not a ton of them. There really isn't. They end up usually having egg on their face as a head coach.
But I would tell you, most teams that win the Super Bowl are coached by offensive guys at this point.
But
it's why teams are willing to take a risk. I mean, the Bears had to try to find stability for Caleb Williams and someone to get the most out of him.
I hope he finds a running game there because that's the key to his offense.
He understands DeAndre Swift and his limitations. I mean, it's also going to be how much of those conversations with Brian Poles did he have? Is he going to continue to have of here are our biggest needs going into next year? Certainly it's not wide receiver. It's going to be offensive line and it's going to be running back.
Ticket Texter says, I get you guys are going to call him a pro, and he interviewed the week before the game, but Saturday screamed, look at me, look what I can do. Says he's human and was not focused on Saturday. Okay, when they were running trick plays in the middle of the season, was that him auditioning for a job, or was that just part of the offense that we all liked? How quickly we switch up on it.
Every time you make a play call, every time you take a snap, every time you are on the field, in any way, shape, or form, you're auditioning for a job. It may be your own job, or it could be one of 32 others as a coach, as a coordinator, as a position player.
Look, if he was auditioning for a job, he should have gone to Jared Goff and said, take your head out of your ass. Like, if he wanted a head coaching job, he would have gone to his quarterback and said, you can't keep effing this game up. I mean, that's a huge part of it. Those trick plays worked all year, and we celebrated them. He shouldn't have put the ball in J-Mo's hands. All right, J-Mo should throw the ball out of bounds. I mean, you can't spoon feed him once the ball snapped.
Right, and it comes down to decisions. Like, we praised him for his fun and creative, and we saw him laughing on the sidelines when Penei Sewell was going to throw a ball. Penei Sewell just decided it wasn't there and wasn't going to throw it.
Right.
All right, so if J-Mo decides I'm not going to throw that ball, obviously there's no interception at that time, but is it a 1 yard loss? Is it a 2 yard gain? And instead, is he on the sidelines giggling a little bit? Like, that's the difference. Is you had two plays, Penei Sewell versus J-Mo. Penei, it wasn't there. He stiff arms a guy, which was kind of cool, but he actually gets sacked.
Speaking of Penei Sewell, he had some comments defending Jared Goff. We'll play those later in the show. Want to reflect on the loss from this weekend, compare it to the loss in the NFC title game. We'll do that coming up at 6:35. And if you have Ben Johnson thoughts on the phones, we're going to keep mixing those in. Let's get to Heather with the news. Heather, good morning.
Good morning, guys. And as everyone knows, if you're up and at it, it is cold. Or maybe you know it if you're not up and at it, because it was cold in my house.
I mean,
we had to bust out the space heaters for the kids because The heat.
Rooms always heat differently.
Oh my gosh, it's so cold. And anyway, it's so cold that a lot of schools are also closed. So most likely you're going to be home with your kids. They're closed today, and a lot of them are closed tomorrow as well. I know.
Tomorrow's going to be even colder than it was today.
Is it going to be?
Oh yeah, I looked at the weather last night. Now, if the weatherman's right, weather person, whatever, it was supposed to be right around where I saw it this morning, 2 or 3 degrees. Tomorrow morning, when we get in our cars and travel this way, it's supposed to be -9 to -10. But on the thermometer, not just feels like.
Well, yes, it feels like could be -25 with wind chill. It could get to. Yeah. They say this article says tomorrow morning. We'll see. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it felt like that this morning, but yeah, it's cold.
It didn't, because there was no wind.
Right.
At least for me, walking to my car in my driveway, there was. Yeah. It was just bitter cold. Anyway, be prepared. Obviously, there's a lot that can happen if you're outside for too long in this cold. So, of course, make sure you're layered up. Your skin isn't exposed. They say the cold weather and wind could cause frostbite to expose skin in about 30 minutes. Yeah. So just be prepared. Also, because of the bitter cold, USA Today put out this list of 6 things you shouldn't leave in your car when it's below freezing out.
Oh,
so here's just a tip for everyone out there, because this could cause some, major cleanup. Aerosol cans.
Oh, they explode. Yeah,
they'll explode. That could be dangerous if you're in the car with it as it's exploding. Canned foods could also start to explode. Everything inside of it can expand. The cans can start to crack. Eggs, basically the same thing. And they're no good. Once the shell is cracked, it shouldn't eat them. Get rid of them. Yeah. But basically, they just start to freeze, expand, the shell cracks, and then they're bad. Electronics, too, could be really bad for your phones, your computers, your laptops, your tablets. Could damage the screen if it gets so cold. And then also, once you turn it back on, condensation could start to get into all the equipment, right? And that's not good. Medication. Certain medications, insulin is what they said, of course, like you don't want that to freeze, but other medication it could also have an impact on. And then, of course, loved ones. Don't leave them behind the car. Your dogs, your pets, your kids,
your wife,
your grandparents. Yeah, well, sure, your wife, but she's capable of opening the door.
I swear I'll be right back.
It's the ones that aren't capable of opening the door themselves that you gotta make sure you're not forgetting back there. So just a little tip. So the family of that missing Warren mother says Roseville police have ended the search for her body at that landfill in Lenox Township, without success. So the uncle of Ashley Elkins released a statement saying that even though they are disappointed with the results, they appreciate all the efforts of all of the people, the more than 50 law enforcement officials, all the volunteers that spent time in that landfill searching for her. It's been more than 17 days since she disappeared and more than 7 days since investigators started searching that landfill. So far, her ex-boyfriend, DeAndre Booker, is in jail for lying to police, being held there until any evidence surfaces that could prove that he is behind her disappearance. Yeah, so I get it. They want answers. They want to find her. So it is disappointing. You might have heard this or watched this. I don't know. But Carrie Underwood, she had to end up singing America the Beautiful a cappella, thanks to some technical glitches at the inauguration on Monday. So she waited several minutes for the music track to play because it did start and then it stopped. But she decided, you know what? The show must go on. She decided she was going to sing it on her own. She did encourage everyone to sing along. And overall, she did a great job and kind of saved that moment because it could have went a whole lot worse.
I have said before.
Yeah, you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
Carrie Underwood.
She was amazing yesterday. I thought it was awesome. And as soon as there was that glitch, I thought, I bet she's going to sing an a cappella. And she was terrific.
She crushed it.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. I know we have a sound of it, but it's a little long. Yeah. So maybe I'll take a listen. But I figured she would. Yeah. I've always been a fan of Carrie Underwood.
She crushed it.
Good for her.
Yeah. It's Heather with the news. All right, Ben Johnson, is he a traitor? You tell us. As you still sit with the feelings of Saturday night, what hurt more? Which was worse, Saturday night or last year's NFC title? It's next, 97.1. Less than an hour away from a 2 Grand Slam. That's one way to make you feel better after this weekend. 725, a chance for $2,000. If you want to talk Ben Johnson, we've asked the question, how do you feel about him leaving, staying in division, going to the Bears? Some have called him a traitor. I think that's a bit of low-hanging fruit. We also want to know about your feelings from Saturday and how they compare to a year ago. John, which was worse?
I'm still trying to decipher that one as I talk through it. I think in the end, it's going to be last year simply because you were 30 minutes away. You had a 17-point lead. And with context, with more time, is that the closest they get? And I don't mean this to be doom and gloom for next year or the coming years. The Super Bowl window is wide open.
No, but Dan said it.
Yeah. And so after the game, he said, we don't know. Is this the closest we're going to be?
This may have been our only shot, I think was the quote.
Right. And so in that context, last year clearly hurts the most. And you were literally 30 minutes away with a 17-point lead. Then you think about this year's loss. Number one seed, 15 wins in the regular season. You're playing the sixth seed with the rookie quarterback. I don't know if it could ever be more on a tee for you to at least get to the NFC Championship game. And then you bow out in the divisional round. That to me, last year still hurts the most to me. And because you were right there. And this year, this team had more flaws, even though there were some more highs. The offense, it was the best offense in the NFL. And there was a lot of great things about it. But the flaws all came on the defensive side. And we saw some of that on Saturday. It's not the reason that they lost on Saturday. That was the turnovers. It was the offense. But I don't know, especially losing Amik Robertson, no matter who they played this weekend, I don't know if they would have made it past the NFC Championship game because they were so banged up defensively.
Last year was the better season. Both years they won the division, but last year they played in the NFC title, had a 17-point lead at the half. It was the better season. Mm-hmm. And it's why it hurt more that you didn't go to the Super Bowl in the better season.
You were so close.
I know. 30 minutes. Halftime, 30 minutes, up 17 points. With, by the way they built that lead, they're running it, big chunk plays. It's on a tee, John, because when you have a lead, all you got to do is lean on them, run the ball. It's an offensive lineman's dream. Hey, we're just going to blow them off the ball for the second half and go to the Super Bowl. This was painful Saturday, but I don't think it was as painful as what happened last year against San Francisco. 248-539-9797. You guys let us know where you're at on that and the Ben Johnson stuff. Let's get to Chris in Oak Park. Chris, you're on 97.1.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
First thing, Ben Johnson is not a traitor. We have to realize that this is what happened when you have good coaches. We've been in a funk for so long. We're used to our coaches getting fired, and the new coach comes in, and, you know, they bring their new staff. This is what happens when you have good coaches. It happens on other teams, so just get used to it. It's just kind of how things go. As far as the loss, I agree with you guys. I say it was last year because we were actually in the NFC Championship, like you said, 30 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl. This year, we got 13 injuries. Every win to me was a gift. I didn't know how far we could go, but I just didn't think that we would actually make it to the Super Bowl. I thought at some point either Washington, you know, people, you know, yeah, they're the sixth seed, yes, rookie quarterback, but he's the rookie, you know, the rookie of the year. That Washington team is no joke, and they can very well, if Philly it sleeps on them, they can very well beat Philly as well. So it's not like we beat some scrub or a team that just wasn't prepared, wasn't ready.
No, they balled out.
They played better than we did.
Yeah, they showed up. They didn't make mistakes. They certainly didn't look like a team that wasn't ready for the moment. The Lions did. Yeah, you're right about that, Chris. I agree with you there. I agree with you there for sure.
It was, time will tell. It will hurt less, each of these, if they ultimately win a Super Bowl. Because you can look back and say, okay, yeah, it could still hurt because you could have had two or you could have had three. I mean, yes, I understand that. But if you can look back with the perspective that all of these were lessons learned eventually getting you over that last final hurdle of winning a Super Bowl, that you can accept them more. But without knowing any of that, you were literally 30 minutes away. And so, I'm talking through this as I go, because last night I would have told you, and even early this morning, I would have said last year's NFC title game. I don't know that people really believed last year was going to be a Super Bowl team, or they started having those hopes and dreams until about halftime of the San Francisco game. Those hopes and dreams all started this year, I don't know what week. We had talked about the possibility before the season and that the expectation was a Super Bowl, but it became a reality sometime week 8, 9, 10, and then they keep winning, and then they get the number one seed. And people were literally, we had a caller, I'm going to drive from Oklahoma to New Orleans, and then after they win, drive from New Orleans to Detroit for the parade. Like, there were people making Super Bowl plans, and it was in your mind. So now all of a sudden, you crap the bed on Saturday night, and all of those hopes and dreams and plans go by the wayside.
It had longer to crystallize, to feel right. Real to you, because all year it felt like some way, somehow, they're going to be there. And I think people who are now saying in retrospect the defense wasn't good enough and we were never actually going to win it, I think that's coping, because that was not the narrative a week ago. It was not the prevailing notion 6-7 days ago. The idea was they'll get through the Commanders. They've got better than a coin flip at home against the Eagles or the Rams. And then they're in the place they weren't a year ago. They both hurt. You guys got to tell us which one hurts more. 248-539-9797. Get some thoughts on that. Let's get to Sheldon in Detroit. Sheldon, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Like I said, Saturday's loss to me hurt more, because it seemed like, you know, we were so hyped up. We had everything in our corner. And my only issue was, it seemed like our defense wasn't well prepared, because like I said, the Commanders, especially Jay Day, they was running at RPO virtually all year. And it just seemed like like Aaron Glenn really didn't have them prepared, especially for a running quarterback with, like I said, especially for that offense to me. But other than that, the offense still had a good year, and this really stings Cookies.
It does. I don't know that I, okay. Are there things Aaron Glenn could have done differently/better? Yeah, but guys, the last month of the season, that defense has been on fumes. I mean, some of that is just the reality of who they are on defense at this point in the year. It's why the offense had to lead the way and couldn't turn the ball over five times. Ticket Texture brings up a good point. And the caller prior brought up a good point. The idea that if you're a good team, you're going to lose these coordinators. John, did you see the stat the last time the Lions lost a coordinator to a head coaching job?
Was it 60s?
63. 1963. We're not used to this.
Well, no, we're not used to it because we're used to firing coaches, not having success, and then your assistant coach is being pilfered.
Right, but what I'm saying is then, guys, get used to it. The one seed's always going to have their coordinators take interviews. Well, you know who's not making excuses? Kansas City. They won the game.
Right. We talk about it all in college sports all the time. Nick Saban, right? He was always trying to find a new offensive coordinator because they were picked off for head coaches. And wouldn't you rather be in a position where year in, year out, your coaches are desired by yes. other? And it, maybe it's not, okay, new coordinator on both sides of the ball come in next year. And maybe it takes a year or two before they are like Ben Johnson. Hey, and next year, maybe their name comes up a little bit, but not really in the running. And then all of a sudden, after 2 years, they're the number one candidate for other jobs. You want to have people in your company that are desired by other companies because it means you're hiring good and it means that you are having success.
Observation. Lions fans don't want to lash out at the people most responsible. They don't want to lash out at Jared Goff. They don't want to lash out at Dan Campbell. So you know who becomes very convenient to lash out at? Ben Johnson. Would you agree with that observation? He leaves. Now it's in division. We can really make him out to be the villain, the bad guy and all this. He was hiring his staff at halftime. No, he wasn't. You know what I mean? This idea that because Dennis Allen's his DC, somehow game prep wasn't there. That's become, I think, really easy for people. They can attack Ben Johnson because Jared Goff could not have been the biggest problem. And Dan Campbell's an emotional rock for this football team. He couldn't possibly have let them down in any way. I think it's convenient where people have shifted the blame. And we're going to get to the Jared Goff stuff. I know Penei Sewell had some comments defending his quarterback. We'll do that next. More of your phone calls on both Ben Johnson leaving and the pain of Saturday versus the pain of the NFC title game. It's 97.1. Is headed to Chicago. Benedict Johnson, the headline in the Free Press, really pushing that traitor narrative. Where are you guys at with him leaving? How big a deal is this? Is he a traitor? How do you feel about him in the division? 248-539-9797. And then our second question is, Saturday versus the NFC title game, which hurt worse? Ticket Texture says, Saturday hurts more, the difference between hope and expectation. Eric and Grand Ledge. The idea that this was expected that they win. And I think this texture puts it well. He says this year hurt worse because nothing about Saturday's game went how we had seen this season. Ill-prepared both sides of the ball. Goff turnovers. Not playing bully ball in key moments. Getting too cute. No complimenting. The offense would pick up the defense or the defense would pick up the offense. We saw none of that, Scott, in Clarkston.
Well, I don't necessarily view it as unprepared. This one to me is more on the players. It was a lack of execution. It was Jared Goff, and you know, doing what you can't do as an experienced quarterback. If he was Jaden Daniels as a rookie on third and two, and they throw the ball, like I would expect Jaden Daniels to be vulnerable and maybe not protect the ball. Not Jared Goff. Yeah. Like that to me is that's a cardinal sin. It's breaking all the rules of being an experienced quarterback. And then you throw the interceptions and you start pushing and pressing to do more instead of taking what's in front of you and trusting what you've done all season long. So to say that they're unprepared, I would disagree. I just think it was a horrific lack of execution on the field.
Ticket Texture says, guys, it's not about prep. Johnson said he had unfinished business and allowed his next round of coaching interviews to be a distraction in the locker room. Look at Kingsbury. He said no interviews until after the year.
I
I think if you're a pro player who got distracted by that, that's kind of on you, right, John? Like, you have to be a professional as the athlete, too. Ben Johnson did his interviews in an off week via Zoom. He wasn't gallivanting around on private jets. He did a couple Zoom meetings, no different than a lot of you listening are going to do today from your office.
Right. Cliff Kingsbury did not have that off week. So he decided, I'm not going to take any interviews.
And he also isn't the commodity. Like, Ben Johnson has passed up jobs two straight off seasons. He kind of had to take this a little more seriously if he wanted to land a head coaching job. And he did want to land a head coaching job, something I will not hold against Ben Johnson.
No, the opportunity to take the next step in your profession.
I mean, what a jerk.
Yeah. I mean, would you have said, you know what? I really like doing midnights.
I like being on too.
Yeah, I just
loyal
like to be
to the
on
audience.
Too. Yes. Right. I mean, how is that any different?
Come on, guys. 248-539-9797. Ben Johnson saw the writing on the wall with Goff and the Lions. He went to the Bears for a mobile QB where he can fully unleash his offense. Lions fans are mad because deep down they feel Ben will go to a Super Bowl while Dan watches at home.
Well, how do we know he knows how to call an offense for a mobile quarterback? I mean, he was here when Matthew Stafford was a quarterback, and he's more mobile than Goff, but I wouldn't call him a dual threat guy.
No, and again, he doesn't have all pros on the offensive line, right?
Better be mobile.
I think as an OC, it's such a luxury when you can block for an extra half second to a full second, when you can dominate up front, run the ball and set up play action, when your quarterback can get to the second, third, or even fourth read, like when second down is second and three instead of second and nine, like. An offensive line is an offensive coordinator's best friend, and Ben Johnson.
And don't fear competition.
He's going to have to fight through that. Yeah,
don't fear competition. That's what we do. That's the essence of sports. Like you don't want to have all your opponents to be bad all year long. Well, then you end up like Minnesota, and you can't figure out how to win when you've won 14 games, but somebody else is more prepared than you are.
Goff is coming up a lot on the ticket text. I did say 7:02 will play Penei Sewell's defensive as quarterback. We'll talk about just where we're at with Jared Goff after that performance. Perry in Detroit, you got thoughts on Ben Johnson. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good.
So my thing is, I don't know if people remember, last year it was an article released when Ben Johnson was interviewed where he said he was watching the Chicago Bears last year and they kept Eberflus, and he was surprised. You can look it up. He even said it himself. When Eberflus got fired this year, I went on social media and told everybody as far as my timeline. I think I even went on Twitter, like, that's Ben Johnson's job. He want to work with Caleb Williams. That's where he want to go. Everybody talked crazy to me. Like, they was cussing me out, told me I was crazy. He'd never do the Lions like that and all. It's not about doing the Lions like that. That's just the job that God wanted. I don't think he's a traitor at all. But he told people that he was watching Chicago. He was always admiring Caleb Williams. You know, he talked about the zip he had on the ball and all that type of stuff. I mean, he kind of put it out there that he was watching Chicago.
I'm not surprised.
Perry, I'm not surprised
that he's in Chicago, but go ahead.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
I said I'm not surprised he ended up in Chicago. I didn't mean to cut you off. Continue.
Yeah. But as far as the loss, I think it was this Saturday because, like, I think it was a ticket text. It just seemed like John said, too, it just seemed like they didn't execute. It looked like a team that we haven't saw all year. We had all the expectations. We had the one seed. And it just seemed like our defensive plan just wasn't there. And the turnovers just, it hurt. It was a dagger Saturday. Because last year, we didn't expect to get that far. You know, this year, it was Super Bowl favorites, Vegas. It was everybody talking about the Lions, the fan favorites, and all that type of stuff. And just for it to land in your lap like that, to have two games at home, 15-game winning season, stuff like that. So this year hurts more.
Perry, I respect it. I think John, one of the things you brought up is just how long we had to sit on these Super Bowl thoughts and let them, you know, morph into real plans. Like, you didn't have time to really do that in the NFC title game. It was there, right, then it was gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there wasn't a lot of people at halftime getting their airline tickets to the Super Bowl and scrounging around for Super Bowl tickets. This is one where people really expected and felt like, And there were people that actually made the investment of, I'm going to buy tickets because I believe the Lions are going to be there. Now, obviously, that's an investment. That's not a sunk cost. Like, you could sell those tickets because somebody's going to go. Somebody else actually wants to go watch it.
Yeah.
But there were people that made a whole lot of plans and spent a lot of money that it's not going to happen. Not going to happen this year.
Penei Sewell defending his quarterback. We'll play that audio after the update. Your phone calls and everything we've talked about. Lions continue to be the lead story in so many different ways. It's 97.1.